Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Our guest tonight is Dr. Erlender Haraldson, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's up?
Well, I was driving home today, and I was thinking about the recent presidential debate. This is not a political discussion, but I was thinking of it in terms, you know, we've discussed the Global Consciousness Project before,
right.
and simply put, researchers for many years put these random number generators in many 50, 60 different countries around the world, and they measure, the theory is that when the world is focused on a particular event or happening, that these generators spike and it can be measured. So, for instance, a couple of hours before the 9/11 attack, the generators all spiked. And you have other things, of, you know, like Princess Diana and her death, and not only bad things, but good things as well. We know that in the debate there were 80 million viewers or 80 million households, whatever it is, a staggering number that
right.
were tuning in. And I read where Dean Radin was measuring looking for any particular spikes, and there were during the hour and a half, you know, during the debate, which is extraordinary when you think about it. You know, these machines pick up the focused thought, the global consciousness, and in terms you can measure. So, which in turn got me thinking as my mind was wandering. So, do you think those in the spirit world or also take notice when they see such combined focus in our physical world? Do you think that might, I don't want to say signal them, but we're all connected by thought.
Yeah, and we're connected, theoretically, we're connected to them as well because it's our consciousness that's connected. It's not the physical being. So the consciousness, once the physical body is gone, exists. And therefore, it's connected. So are they being affected by what's going on here? Are they interested in what's going on here? Or, it's a really cool thing. If you think about it, when there is no time and space, they experience everything together. So let's assume for a moment that they know what the future is. They know how this election is going to turn out already. So the fact that it spikes shows what? Shows they're happy, they're sad, or they're interested. They couldn't possibly be interested in something they can't change. We're interested in something because we worry about the outcome or we have a vested interest in the outcome, or for some reason, that's why we get involved in something. That's why we care about something.
Well, you hit upon something there, is that, you know, are they interested in it? And if so, do they try to influence, you know, the outcome? Now, I don't believe that just because you no longer have a body and you're in the spirit world that you know what the future will be. But certainly, I do believe that there are entities or beings, or you can call them guides, or you could call them, you know, whatever you want. But there are people in the spirit realm that see the big pattern of things. So, for example, let's say one of these entities, whose job it may be to help guide us, sees that, let's take this example in an election, you know, that if one candidate got elected because of certain circumstances, that could result in tragedy, you know, a world tragedy. You know, could they, you know, intervene, you know, to try to influence the election?
Well, that's where the debate thought has to go, because we know that they are guides, and our entities on the other side have been known to guide us away from danger, or to make us take a different pathway on our journey, or to point us in the direction we need to go to fulfill why we've incarnated. So they do take an active role individually that we see, right, and that we have evidence of. But would they get together and be all concerned about the future of the Earth? What if the future of the Earth was that everybody starts pushing the button and it gets totally annihilated?
Yeah, well, then, you know, and that may be part of the plan. You know, there could be, you know, a cleansing. I mean, did people on the other side get together to stop Hitler? No. I mean, but maybe that was part of a bigger plan, which seems utterly, devastation to us and horrific, but from a different perspective, if it's just a little blip in continual growth, you know, maybe it's totally different.
But I always go off on this other thought when we talk about mass killings on any level, that the result of it is, and we see this just from anybody who's had a singular loss, is that more often than not, they are sent on the journey to figure out what's happening. Is their loved one still around? And they learn about the spiritual concepts of the continuity of life, that life and death, as the Kamlak Center says, puts it back together again. So we do continue to exist, and this is what these people learn, and they become more spiritual, and they become more open, and they become more peaceful people, because they know that there is a bigger picture. So when you have these occasions, and it's not occasional, right now we're seeing a lot of death around more and more frequently, or maybe it's just as frequently as it used to be, and maybe it's just because that's what the news is reporting all the time, because they don't want to give us the real stuff. There's so many deaths, and there's so many people that are turning to the answers of survival, and I know our membership is increasing regularly from these kinds of events, and the phone rings more often when these kinds of events happen, and all, you know, people are set to look on this. So maybe that's the bigger picture from the other side. Maybe they're saying, we want you all to understand love and compassion and doing good by each other instead of fighting and war. Maybe that's the bigger picture.
I'll buy that. And we know that trauma and death, you know, triggers a search for meaning and purpose. So that makes sense. We do have a wonderful guest tonight, Dr. Haraldson. We're going to be talking about all sorts of good stuff. So we're going to go to a break. We come back, we're going to have Dr. Erlinder Haraldson with us. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more. The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Erlinda Haraldson. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research and Human Potential, and they could be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Bob?
And Dr. Erlinda Haraldson is Professor Emeritus of Psychology at the University of Iceland, and he's world-renowned for his research of psi phenomena. Some of his areas of research include psychic experiences and folk beliefs, apparitions, hallucinations, deathbed visions, contacts with the dead, children who speak of a previous life, the Sai Baba and Indian miracle makers, and Icelandic mediums. As many of our listeners know, he's a prolific author. Some of his latest books are Departed Among the Living, an investigative study of afterlife encounters, and Indridason, the Icelandic physical medium. Welcome, Erlinda.
Glad to be with you.
Yeah, and it's an honor to have you again. I don't think I ever asked you before, but Your interest in psychic phenomena, was that spurred on by any particular personal experience, or was it a matter of pure academic interest?
Well, it's a bit difficult to answer, but I think it's a mixture of both. There was an interest in it already in my youth, and then I was lucky enough to come to know people like Professor Bender in Germany and Ian Stevenson at the University of Virginia and Carlos Orsis at the American Society for Psychical Research. So one thing followed another, and I really kept busy along these lines since quite relatively early. But I was also did some work in psychology proper, especially on psychological testing, on suggestibility, and so on.
And I know, I mean, you mentioned your work with Ian Stevenson. I know that you also did some work with J.B. Ryan.
Yes. I spent a year at the Institute of Parapsychology with J.B. Ryan. And that was a very informative year and very interesting to come to know him and to come to appreciate his experimental approach. And then I learned a lot of people who would come to visit him. So it was a great learning experience to be in Durham.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You're, of course, well known for your research of deathbed visions. Despite the abundance of evidence, I mean, most of the public inexplicably still remains unaware of this phenomenon. I mean, why do you think that is?
Well, I think maybe the public is more or less unaware of it. But awareness of it has been increasing within the medical professions, especially among nurses and among hospice workers. They are becoming quite familiar with it. And since Carlos Osses and I wrote our first book on deathbed visions, that was based on extensive and numerous interviews with physicians and nurses in the United States and in India. There have also been others, in particular one gentleman, I don't remember his name at the moment, Peter Fenwick. He did a study among hospice workers. And his findings really confirm what we had already found, that these deathbed visions are relatively common, and they are not, in the majority of cases, caused by medication, but rather arise spontaneously towards the end of life. And they also have one particular characteristics that the persons that the dying see, they are frequently friends or relatives, and they typically have one message for them, that they appear to help them in the transition into another world. And when the patients or the dying persons perceives that, they are much more ready to die, and they die more peacefully. So it is a very beneficial experience.
Absolutely, and the implication is that we all have help when it's time to physically die and cross over to another realm. When you started, when you wrote the book, I mentioned the book Departed Among the Living, and it's a must-read for those who want to learn more about afterlife encounters. But As you got further into the research, were you surprised at the percentage of people who reported such experiences, encounters, and communications in the spirit world?
Yes. In the beginning, I was rather surprised. This first surprise came in 1974 when I did a national survey in Iceland, and it turned out that 31% of a representative sample of the population, they reported that they had, at one time or another, had contact with someone who had died. And then a few years later, there was done a survey in most of the West European countries. It was the European Value Survey. And there it turned out that the Icelanders were not so unique as I had thought. For the whole of the European, West European countries, was 25%, namely every fourth person in Western Europe had at one time or another had an experience of someone who had died. But what we did not know through these questions was what kind was this experience? What was it that people were experiencing? What was it that people understood as encounters with the dead or experience of the dead? So I made an interview survey, and we interviewed here in Iceland some 450 people who had an experience of someone who had died. And then we came to know a lot more about these experiences. And it was on this study that I wrote The Departed Among the Living. The Departed Among the Living, that was first published in English, in Icelandic, and then in English in 2012. There it turned out that about two-thirds of these experiences are visual experiences, namely the person sees someone, usually quite briefly, who had passed away. And then there were also fairly common some auditory experiences, namely hearing someone who had died. And then it was a question either hearing voices or hearing something that was typical for the man, like something that he used to do or some sounds of that kind. Then there were also some tactual experiences and so on and so forth. So these experiences were variable, but they were really dominated by visual experiences. And if you like, I may tell you one or two.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. I remember, for example, there was a former member of parliament here in Iceland, and he used to go to the stalls where he kept his horses. He lived up in the country. He did that after lunch. And then one day he sees in one of the stalls for the horses a friend of his who had also been a member of parliament. And that friend of his says, you were lucky, you did well. You were lucky, you did well. And then he disappeared. And as far as this man knew, this friend of his was alive. He had no idea that there was anything wrong with him. But then on the radio that day, in the evening, he heard the news that he had passed away. And then later he learned that he had suffered a heart attack. He had been brought to the hospital, and there he died. But then he recalled the words of his friends, "You were lucky, you did well," because he had also had a heart attack. He was brought to the hospital, but he survived and got healthy again. So that was the way he understood his words, "You were lucky, you did well." So this is one of the experiences of encounters with the dead.
Yeah, and it's extraordinary because, you know, when you have such these anecdotal experiences that happen consistently, it's hard to dispute. It really, you know, it is. I mean, what other explanation for that could there be? And I remember reading your survey, and at the time I was surprised that of such a high percentage of these visual encounters. I never imagined that the percentages would be so high, but in fact there were more, as you mentioned, more visual encounters than anything else, right?
Yes. In my book, The Departed Among the Living, I published brief accounts, almost about 400 of these cases. And I also grouped them into different groups, like visual, auditory, and so on. And also grouped them according to the time since the person died. And then one of the findings was that about every seventh case occurs at the time when someone dies, like in the case of the parliamentarian. He didn't know that there was anything wrong with his friend, but he perceives him about the time that he died. And every seventh case is of this kind. It occurs about the time when someone dies. Usually the person who makes the perception or sees the apparition, he doesn't know that there is anything wrong with his or her friend who suddenly appears. So these apparitions or persons who appear, they sort of come out of the blue when no one expects them. But as I said, about every seventh case is of that kind.
Right.
And there is also an interesting feature about this. There was done a survey, sorry about my voice, there was done a survey in Britain over 100 years ago, late in the 19th century. And in that survey, they also found that about every seventh case occurs at the time when someone dies.
Yeah, and in these cases where the person doesn't know that the person had died, they're so strong and they're so evidential because you can't make the argument that they were imagining it.
Yes, that's quite right.
Yeah.
I could sometimes also, these cases are not only visual. We also have cases that are visual, but perhaps also olfactory, or you hear something. And I'd like to tell you one case. Okay. It was in Sandgerði, a fishing village here in Iceland. And the wife was at home in her house. And then he suddenly sees a man passing an open door. But with it comes a small strong smell of alcohol. And then this is over. And then when her husband comes back home in the evening, he tells her, why is this strong smell of alcohol? And then his wife tells him about her experience. Well, and then when he comes home the next day, he tells his wife, well, now I understand why we had this strong smell of alcohol. Because Erling, the man from whom we bought this house from, they had recently moved into a new house. He was lost in the harbor of Siglufjord in the north of Iceland yesterday. And this man was, he had that tendency to drink. And he had evidently drunk too much and was found drowned in the harbor of Siglufjord. So that is how they explained this strong smell of alcohol. And this is also a case that occurs about the same time as someone dies.
Yeah. Is that the same thing as what some researchers call crisis apparitions?
Yes, this would be a crisis apparitions.
Yeah. Okay.
The crisis apparitions, they are sort of most impressive and carry the greatest evidential value, because they occur when no one expects them, but they also frequently occur or involve accidents. People die of accidents, not only naturally, but die of accidents. And that's also an interesting feature of these cases, that about, 28-30% of them are cases of persons who have died violently, who have died by accidents or even by suicide and so on, or being murdered. So there is a preponderance of cases of persons who died violently, that is, who didn't die by disease and in a natural way. And as I told you, there is about 30% who die, or the cases who are of that kind, although only 7 or 8% of the population, in fact, actually dies through a violent death. So there's a preponderance of cases of those who suffer a violent death.
Yeah. And I heard there's a lot of speculation about why that might happen. I mean, it could be that you know, there's a greater urgency to make contact, or maybe the emotions and the fear and so forth.
Well, maybe there is a great urgency to make contact, because these people, they are thrown out of life unexpectedly. They do not expect it themselves, or in very rare cases. So they are just taken out of life by force. So they feel the urge, it seems, to make contact with the living.
Right. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, I want to get into the Icelandic physical medium, and my pronunciation may not be perfect, but even though my friend Siri tries to help me with it, but Indridison is the best I can do.
Yes. Oh, you're pretty good. Indridason.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back in a few minutes. Stay with us. A lot more to talk about.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Erlinder Haraldson. Our sponsor is the Windbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they could be found on the web at www.windbridge.org. We'd like to remind you to check the events page on our website regularly for all events and announcements. That's www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Our first annual mediumship convention is all set for the weekend of November 11th through 13th, and this is another first of its kind, a convention totally dedicated to the world of mediumship, run by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, taught by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, and spirit communication conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. Reservations can be made on our website, and as always, please keep in mind our no-refund policy before making your reservations. And here's a secret code just for our listeners to get a special discount on the convention. But it will only be in effect until October 8th, so act quickly. That secret code is RADIO2016. Don't share it with a friend. Just go on and make your reservations. And a reminder, our annual Holidays Past raffle is up and waiting for your entries to support the great work of our 100% volunteer organization. Win up to 5 medium readings in our drawing set for December 23rd. The mediums in this year's raffle are Catherine Nadal, Heidi Jaffe, Tracy Lee Nash, Renata Santarelli, and Lee Ashley. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. So we need your support to keep all of our things going. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, great nonprofits, and WellZoo. And lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Dr. Haraldson. I mentioned the latest book that Erlinda has written about the Icelandic physical medium, Andrithi Andridason. Erlinda, was his physical mediumship typical of other physical mediums of the time?
There are many of the same phenomena, but it seems that these different mediums were also different. They had their characteristics, they had their strengths. Some had more of this kind of phenomena, others had more of another kind of phenomena. And in the case of Indriðason, there was a lot of levitations of objects. There was also levitations of himself. And one thing in particular was very prominent with him, and that were many direct voices that would be heard in the seance hall. And these were voices that the sitters would recognize, and they could talk to them and communicate with them, and there would be responses. And these voices had their the characteristic they had while they were living, both in the way they spoke and in their choice of words and so on. So those who were involved in the mediumship of Indriðason were very impressed with the contact with the dead that was obtained in his mediumship. But his mediumship was really both physical and mental. For example, he once described, or rather, there was an entity who appeared in a pillar of light. There was also a lot of light phenomena with Indriðason. The seances were held in darkness, and there was a lot of light. And sometimes within this light, especially like a pillar of light, there would appear a person. And at one time there appeared a person, a man who called himself Jensen, and he said that there was a fire in Copenhagen. And then it disappeared, and then it came again an hour or two later and said that the fire had been extinguished and that the fire had been in a factory. And those present at the sitting was very impressed by this, so they decided to write it down. And at that time, there was no telephone, there was no radio communication between Iceland and Denmark. This happened in 1905. And so they waited for the next ship to come, and then they saw in the newspaper, the Danish newspaper, that there was a piece of news about a fire that occurred on this exact date when the sitting took place. And it was a fire in a factory, as had been stated in the sitting. So this was verified, and it was a very extraordinary case. Yeah, and so on. It is a rather long case, too long to go into, but I made further inquiries about this, and I was able, a century later, to identify the person who had appeared there as a deceased person and told about the fire in Copenhagen. He had, in fact, lived in the street where the fire took place, in the second house from where the fire took place. And this case reminds one of the case of Swedenborg's, the Swedish man, who described a fire in Stockholm while he was in Gothenburg. So that was a very remarkable case.
When you talk about direct voice, just to be clear, for those that might not know what that is, the voices are not coming out of the vocal cords of the medium, but they're appearing.
They appear in different places in the hall. They do not come out of the mouth of the medium. They appear independent of the medium. And
right.
That was very prominent with Indriði. Also prominent with Indriði were levitations of himself. He would sometimes levitate, and he would be moved from one place of the seance room into another, just lifted and so on. So there was a lot of very extraordinary phenomena around him.
Yeah.
In my view, he is at least as interesting a medium as Daniel Douglas Hume, who is the most famous of physical mediums. And yes, I have made a comparison of Indriði with some other famous mediums like D.D. Hume and Eusebia Palladino and the Polish Franek Kluski. And Indriði is definitely of the same stature, and we find the same strength of phenomena with him as with the most famous mediums that we know about. And I wrote that in a quite a detailed way in my book, Indriði Indriðason, the Icelandic Physical Medium.
Yes, you did, and I was surprised to learn. It was interesting because when I think about levitations in the mediums of yesteryear, you do think of D.D. Hume, and there are some classic photos of him, levitating. But yet, when you did an analysis, Indriðason actually had a much higher frequency of these levitation occurrences than Hume did.
Oh yes, in the good descriptions of D.D. Hume's seances, he levitated in about 8% of the sittings. But in equally good descriptions of Indriði Indriðason cities, he levitated in about 26% of the sittings. So in about every fourth sitting, he would levitate, whereas with D.D. Hume, it was a rather, well, almost a rare phenomenon, or occurred rather seldom.
Yeah. Now, he was always entranced during these seances, correct?
Yes, Indri was always in trance during the phenomena, whereas Didi Hume was either in very light trance or in no trance at all. Then also another thing differentiates or differs between the two mediums, that with Indriti, there was much more and easier communication with the departed. Whereas with Hume, they would use just the alphabet. They would pinch on different letters of the alphabet. So it was a very slow process to communicate with someone who had passed away. Whereas it was easy with Indri because you could just speak to the these spirits or departed, and they would respond to you immediately.
Yeah, it was. It's interesting to me that in Tritison's seances, there were often lengthy messages, and you wrote about that some of these entities talked about the necessity for the departed to gather energy in order to communicate. They would say that their energy is running low and that they need to get energy.
Yes.
Is that message consistent with other things that have been developed in seances with other mediums? Do people have other...
Yeah, I think so. I think even with Didi Hume... the power went. I mean, they had used up the power they had. So, and also with Franek Kluski, that very famous Polish medium, the power would come to an end, and then the sitting would stop. And Indrason, when they had been going for a while, then they had to stop because they didn't have the energy to continue.
Yeah. So he became quite a celebrity in Iceland, I would imagine.
Yes, he became a celebrity, but he had a very short life. He died at the age of 28, and his mediumship only lasted for 5 years, from 1904 to 1909. Then he became sick with tuberculosis and died in 1912. So he had a short life, but a very impressive life. And then those who gathered around him and were interested in his mediumship, they were mostly academic people. They kept very good records of what took place and had very good controls, always helped him on both sides so that they could be sure that the phenomena were genuine. And so it was very well described, everything that occurred with Indri the Indrason. It is like the best records of about Didi Hume that was done by Sir William Crookes.
Well, I wish we had more time. Unfortunately, we don't. We have been talking with Dr. Erlinder Haraldsson. Some of his latest books, which you should check out, Departed Among the Living, An Investigative Study of Afterlife Encounters, and Indriti Indridason, The Icelandic Physical Medium. Those books appear on our website. There are several other books. There's quite a number. You can also Google Erlinder and come up with his university website and learn a lot more. Erlinder, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I appreciate talking to you. Very pleasant. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Alex Hanna, Ginger Quinlan, Trevor McKinney, Vince Mataya, Isabel Ginsberg, Joan Lipke, Diane Archangel, Doreen Malloy, James Rafferty, Fred Feinstein, Matt Mello, Donna Mello, Mary Pierschka, David Haith, Michael Tim, Glenna Irwin, Stanley Newlin, and Karen Gould. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.